Amen. Yes. Just to bring us focused. You know, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus is said to have expressed this: I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And chapter 10, verse 14 goes on to say this: I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Many of us have either learned growing up in a traditional religion or just based on general knowledge about religion that Jesus was called the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. Now, when I was thinking about this discussion of sheep, I thought it might not sit too well with people because, if you know like I know, sheep aren't considered the brightest animals in the barnyard. You never hear anyone talking about being the lone sheep. They say that they are a lone wolf, because a lone sheep was usually a dead sheep. They need constant reminders and reinforcement. They wander off, they get lost, they have trouble following simple instructions. They need a shepherd to protect them from wild animals like wolves that may want to eat them. Because the minute that they think they're independent, that they can just eat peacefully and wander away from the fold, they'll get consumed by a wolf or some other wild animal. They cannot survive without the tender care of a shepherd. Even the name sheep is the same plural and single. So as seen in this light, it may not be too flattering to be lumped in with a bunch of sheep. But let's put things in perspective. Because metaphysically, sheep represent the natural life that flows into our consciousness from spirit, pure and innocent, good and obedient thoughts. And although there is still a need for a caretaker, a shepherd, if you will, the idea is that these are the good and obedient thoughts of our mind, and we do want them protected. So when Jesus, our elder brother and wayshower, says, I am the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and I know my sheep and my sheep know me, he is again putting it out there to serve as an example of how we are to show up in our thoughts and actions and be obedient to the will of God. We are the good shepherd. I remind you that a new thought, we talk about the Bible and the stories, the characters, are all about our personal spiritual walk. There are so many of these wonderful personalities in the Bible that fall into the shepherd category. Abel, Cain's brother, he was a shepherd. He minded all the animals, and sheep were part of them. Moses was a shepherd. And shepherds followed the star to the manger in Bethlehem to pay homage to the birth of Jesus, and I can give other stories. But the good shepherd that will be our guide today, and you could probably tell by our opening meditation, is David. The story of David and Goliath is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. We find the story in 1 Samuel 17, and it recounts the extraordinary journey of a young shepherd boy who fearlessly confronts a formidable giant, Goliath, defying all odds to emerge victoriously. But this story is much more than just an underdog story. It teaches us how we can do incredible things by trusting in God. So today I invite you, take a fresh look at this story. Now, historically, David was the second king of Israel. He was the son of Jesse, great-grandson of Ruth and Boaz, and as told by the prophets, it was from the line of David that Jesus the Christ was to come. Metaphysically, David represents divine love individualized in human consciousness. So it makes sense, pairing of the sheep is our good shepherd of obedient thoughts. In his youth, David communed daily with God. He closely reflected this divine love. He was spiritually in tune with his divinity, knowing that he was in perfect unity with all of existence. And this is actually who we are in truth. We must affirm our divinity and always be in touch with all of existence. Scripture tells us that as Jesse's youngest son, David was not required to serve in the army. However, he had the task of tending to his father's sheep, which he did with committed passion. David was considered a good shepherd, and he took his job seriously. So that you can get a better picture of how David cared for the sheep, let me explain a shepherd's job. We're in modern times now, and you may not know. The shepherd did not use a whistle or other noisemaker, but controlled the sheep by talking to them. Wow, that's novel. And with the aid of a staff, the sheep were redirected when they began to stray. In this way, they learned to recognize the shepherd's voice and to respond accordingly. The shepherd counted the sheep each morning before taking them out to pasture and again in the evening when they were led back to the enclosure to ensure that none were missing. If a sheep were missing, the shepherd would corral the sheep that are left or get another shepherd to watch over them and go out to find the one or ones that went astray. Shepherd. So think of yourself as David. Remember these characters, these places, all of this. It's about us. It's our script to look at, or at least one of them. You have a regular practice of communing with God. You love God. You feel you are obedient to the will of God? Well, at least most of the time. I'm hearing some yeses, so good. But what does it all mean in relationship to our David and Goliath story? Now, I'm going to summarize the biblical story and again ask you, look at it through fresh eyes. As 1 Samuel 17 begins, we find the nation of Israel at war with the Philistines. Metaphysically, the Israelites stand for thoughts and feelings, which are part of our developing understanding of God and truth. They don't stand for understanding. They stand for that part of us which has the potential of developing understanding. So I want that clear, the potential of developing understanding. The Philistines are our error thoughts in sense consciousness, believing in or acting through the senses. And that means, for those of you unfamiliar, the things we can see, feel, taste, and touch. The two nations gathered on opposite sides of a valley and prepared to fight. The Philistines had a secret weapon. Goliath. Now, Goliath is the weapon with all his taunts and outer body armor, represents all the intimidating, frightening aspects of manifested negativeness that have grown to gigantic dimensions. To put it simply, Goliath is the deep-seated fear of someone or something that has developed within us over time. Every day, the 9-foot-tall Goliath would go out on the battlefield and mock the Israelites and their God. He would have called them to fight, but King Saul and all the Israelites were terrified and did nothing. This continued on for 40 days. So one day, David was sent to the front lines by his father Jesse to bring supplies and just report on the battle. As David approached the front line, he witnessed Goliath taunting the Israelite army and mocking God. When David inquired as to what was going on, his own brother chided him and basically told him to go away and mind his own business. But David wasn't having it. He offered to fight the giant. He turned and asked someone else, who then took him to see Saul. And Saul was hesitant at first. When David insisted, he gave David his armor. David put on the armor, he paraded around a bit, and then politely refused all the traditional weaponry and instead chooses to fight Goliath with only a slingshot and 5 stones. And I know Saul was standing back there going, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on your soul." As David marches confidently on the battlefield, Goliath can't believe it. The stark physical differences are hard to ignore. Goliath towers over this young shepherd boy. Goliath mocks David, but David is unshaken. He loads one stone and skillfully hurls it toward Goliath. The stone collides in Goliath's forehead, bringing the giant crashing to the ground. David then picked up Goliath's sword and cut off his head. It's a gruesome story, but at the same time, an incredible victory over what many might view as insurmountable odds. And please know I am not purporting violence by any sense of the imagination, because I know I'll get emails, or Reverend Sylvia will. This is a story that has a deeper meaning for us. And now that we know the story of David and Goliath, I want to look at what it teaches us about our lives and having faith. David was faced with some distractions that could have thrown him for a loop. He was small in stature, as he was only a teenager. He was between 14 and 16 years old. If you read his backstory, he had always been taunted by his brothers. He was a bratty little brother, so they always picked on him. And even King Saul initially told him that he was only a boy. And he did not believe David could deal with Goliath, although he gave in. And David saw how the entire Israelite army was hiding in terror at the outward appearance of Goliath, so he could have walked the other way. They were terrified by what they saw, and in doing so, they had neglected their trust in God. On the other hand, David was not swayed by Goliath's outward appearance. David fearlessly stepped onto the battlefield armed with only his slingshot and 5 stones. His courage was not rooted in physical strength alone, but in the profound trust he placed in a higher power. David looked not at what was seen, but what was unseen. What was unseen to David that others may not have seen at that time was God's presence and power that dwell within him. So similarly, in our lives, when we are facing a giant, we will be tempted to look only at the challenge in front of us. But instead, we should be like David. Rather than focusing on the giant blocking our way, look to the one who is bigger than the giant, God. The story of David and Goliath teaches us that when we follow God, outward appearance isn't what matters with what we're facing. David had a simple faith and trust in the presence and power of God within him. If we are to grow in the type of faith and confidence, we too must begin with an absolute trust in our inner Lord. It is not the easiest thing to develop. And you know why? Because the ego is used to trusting in itself. It is not eager. It is not willing to put aside the misconceptions. It likes to believe in what it can see, touch, feel, taste, or really just manipulate. How many times have you kept your eye on what you were divinely inspired to do, and naysayers around you tell you over and over that your goal or the situation you're in was not going to work, it wasn't going to happen? But you held to the belief that with God, all things are possible. As with David, even though those who are supposed to be in your corner don't provide you with the support you need, or if they provide support, it may be similar to what Saul did. Offer up their way of handling things. Remember, Saul tried to give David his armor, and David did try it on. He walked around in it, but he told Saul, it just didn't fit. He was uncomfortable because it was not his truth to utilize such armor. He had to work with what he was comfortable with, what was dwelling inside of him, what spirit was telling him to do. And I'm not saying that you don't ask for assistance when you need it. We have a saying in Unity, take the best and leave the rest. So you can ask, but if it's not working for you, leave it. You are the guardian of your thoughts. They must all be in alignment. This is the job of the Good Shepherd. Remember, your thoughts are like sheep. You have to talk with yourself and affirm the truth constantly. There will be the challenge to go astray, but even if it seems as if there's a little deviation from what you know, you have to reel it back in. Remember, the Good Shepherd will track down even one sheep that has gone off. You want your thoughts trained on that still small voice of the Good Shepherd in you. So when that other voice you hear speaks out, urging you to do something that is not right, or to do nothing at all, because that happens too, or it speaks in the form of a naysayer, you must trust and submit to the Good Shepherd to bring you out of your lostness. Get those stray sheep in check. When you have to strike down a major challenge to your truth, what do? Well, David cut off Goliath's head. He no longer wanted that energy to ever penetrate his space again. It's like getting one of life's lessons. When you get it, you get it. That's the cutting off those things that don't serve you. You have to affirm, as David did, the battle is not yours, it's God's. That presence and power that is already within you. Every person struggles with the Goliath because every person at one point in time yields to sense consciousness. Goliath taunts, Goliath deceives, Goliath even attacks, and Goliath's mission is to defeat us. Whatever Goliath you may be facing, please know the purpose of Goliath is to destroy what you know to be the truth. You know, what I've said today, I could have said probably in a few words, but what fun is that? Seriously, the bottom line is have faith in God that dwells within you. Now, the word faith has different meanings to different people. Metaphysically, we know it to mean spiritual assurance, the power to do the seemingly impossible. It is a magnetic power that draws unto our heart's desire from the invisible spiritual substance. Faith is a deep inner knowing, knowing that which is sought is already ours for the taking. Faith is also that belief in yourself and your abilities. Regardless of its roots, keeping faith usually means trusting everything will work out in the end. And what's that popular saying? Everything is going to be fine in the end. If it's not fine, it's not the end. And it also means trusting the journey ahead. As stated in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is the confident assurance that we hope for will indeed come to pass, even if we can't see it yet. It's like the foundation upon which our hopes rest, even when circumstances are uncertain. Faith is a powerful force that can provide us with hope and assurance during difficult times. To incorporate faith into your daily life, consider practicing gratitude and mindfulness. We tend to forget that. So take a moment each day to reflect on the blessings in your life and express gratitude for them. And you know what? Even the Goliaths that come and go in our lives, give thanks for them too. Give thanks for them. Additionally, engage in activities that allow you to connect with something greater than yourself. Prayer, meditation, spending time in nature. We tend to forget that. These things keep us grounded, no matter what is happening in the outside world. Now, I know there are some of you who feel that too many bad things have happened to you, so you might doubt that all will end well. But remember this. The Apostle Paul says, to call it all good, call it all God. And if it's good, if all is God, then all is well. Friends, God has to be at the forefront of any challenge that you face. The Good Shepherd knows this. Always keep this in mind, never letting it waver or go astray. You have to keep those sheep, those obedient, peaceful thoughts, as I said before, and I'll repeat it because sometimes it just burns itself on the brain. Those obedient, peaceful thoughts have to be kept in check because that's what you want to always come out. Now, it's not easy, and you probably heard, yeah, simple, but not easy. And that's okay. So it takes work. That's a good thing. Webster defines work as a bodily or mental effort exerted to do or make something a purposeful activity. So those activities I talked about, they have purpose. There's purpose in prayer. There's purpose in meditation. There's purpose in enjoying nature all around you, and that purpose is having that conscious connection with God. So it's definitely purposeful. That's what work is. Like David, we may have many battles, fears, and other negative human experiences in life, but David's decision to confront Goliath was an act of unwavering faith and boldness. I am sure David had some fear. We all would have had fear under similar circumstances, but he didn't let that fear dictate his actions. Being bold doesn't mean the absence of fear, but rather acting courageously in the face of fear. I would have to say that David's boldness was rooted in his faith in God, which allowed him to be bold. David showed that boldness when grounded in faith can lead to remarkable outcomes. So I say to you, be the good shepherd. Let your faith always override your fear. Have that faith only in God, which dwells within you. You can't get away from that. You get it? All right now. And so it is then. Thank you, thank you. Thank you.